I'd like to go back to just briefly state this list of 10 points that we just did. The header of this section is in Arabic. ذكر الأمور التي تحمل على إسقاط التدبير. Mentioning the things that will lead the servant to drop his management. So these are things, instruments at our hands, ways of thinking that can help us to drop our management from our side. And we took 10 points in the beginning of this book, and those points were things about the gifts that Allah sends. Now these are things that we do ourselves, or rather stop doing, the ways of thinking that come from our side. So the first one, al-awwalu, and the first one is reminding us that this our lifespan is very short, and that Allah has been managing everything from our pre-existence to our afterlife, and the only thing where we actually can manage something is in this realm of life. And considering that this is a very short thing, a very short period in our life, and that we can also let Him take care of things here just as He did before and He will do before. And in that section we had the statement of Sayyidina Hussein al-Hallaj rahimahullah ta'ala, the dua he made, kunni kama kunta li fi hini lam akun, be for me as you were to me in the time when I was not, when I did not exist. So be to me as you were to me before I existed. So that is, take care of me as you took care of me before I existed. The second part is, أَنْتَ عَلَمَ أَنَّ فِي التَّدْبِيرِ مِنْكَ لِنَفْسِكَ جَهْلٌ مِنْكَ بِحُسْنِ النَّظَرِ لَهَا. Knowing that when one tries to manage oneself, it will not be as good as what Allah to manage. So the best management one can actually do is to stop managing. And this is in the last statement of that paragraph. فَبَابُ التَّدْبِيرِ مِنَ اللَّهِ لَكَ هُوَ إِسْقَاطُ التَّدْبِيرِ مِنْكَ لِنَفْسِكَ. By dropping your own self-management, you are opening the door for Allah to do it for you. That was the second one. And the third one is knowing that you don't run qadar. You don't run things. You can plan things, but you don't really foresee what is happening, and you don't determine what is going to happen. And in that part was a line of poetry that says, متى تبلغ البنيان يوما تمامه إذا كنت تبنيه وغيره يهدمه. When will ever your building come to a completion when you are building and somebody else is tearing it down, meaning that you don't control all the factors. And also another line of poetry from that version is from number 3. ولما رأيت القضاء جاريا بلا شك فيه ولا مريبه توكلت حقا على خالقي وألقيت نفسي مع الجرية. When I saw the qada, the destiny, running without any doubt and without any hesitation, I entrusted myself truly to the Creator, and I threw myself into the stream of events. الرابع علمك بأن الله تعالى المتولى تدبير ملكته. And this is a reminder of how small one is in the entire universe. The universe itself, compared to the kursi of Allah, is like a small ring thrown into the desert. And the kursi of Allah, which encompasses the universe, is like a small ring, compared to the arsh, is like a small ring thrown into the desert. So how small is then a human being is inside the universe? Inside the universe, he is a small ring, and the universe in comparison to the kursi is like a small ring in a desert, and the kursi in comparison to the arsh is like a small thing thrown in the body. Manages is just a few things around ourselves, and we imagine ourselves to be running the destiny of everything existing, so that doesn't make sense. That is that point number 4. And then number five is علمك بأنك ملك الله. Allah owns you, so you don't really have any right, and it is not suitable Lord who is supposed to be doing that for you. And in that there are some very sweet quotes also, one from Sayyidina Abu al-Abbas al-Mursi rahimahullah ta'ala, the author rahimahullah ta'ala, who went to his sheikh was Abu al-Abbas al-Mursi. رحمهما الله تعالى. فدخلت على الشيخ أبي العباس المرسي رحمه الله تعالى يوما، فشكوت إليه بعد أموري، فقال and I was complaining about some of my problems, and then he said إن كانت نفسك لك فاصنع بها ما شئت ولن تستطيع ذلك أبدا. If you belong to yourself, then do whatever you want, and still you will never succeed in doing that. وإن كانت لبادئها فسلمها له يصنع بها ما شاء. And if you belong to your creator, then abandon your nafs to him and let him do with it what he wants. ثم قال الراحة في الاستسلام إلى الله وترك التدبير معه وهو العبودية. So he says راحة, that is to relax. Relaxation is in abandoning oneself to the tadbir, to the organization of Allah, and this is ubudiyyah, this is servanthood. And also in the same section is an event with Sayyidina Ibrahim Adham. He slept and he overslept all his salat, and then he woke up and somebody spoke to him in poetry and said, everything is forgiven you except your turning away from me, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, ثم قيل لي, and then it was said to me, يا إبراهيم كن عبدا عبدا فكنت عبدا فاسترحت. Then the voice said to me, O Ibrahim, be a servant. And then I became a servant and I was at ease. So that was number 506. We took to subhanahu wa ta'ala and the quote of Sayyidina Abu Madian rahimahullahu ta'ala, who was counting 3 days of being Allah's guest, and that's 3,000 days in the calculation of Allah, and our lifespan is just a short part of that. Number 7, reminding us of Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Al-qayyum is the one who is responsible for the rizq of the whole universe. So knowing that one can let him govern things and just sit back and see things happening. اشتغال العبد بوظائف العبودية. Busying oneself with what one is created for, that is the acts of worship, and that will leave no space and no energy for trying to organize matters of dunya. And in that there is a quote from Sayyidina Abu al-Hasan radiallahu anhu. سيدنا محمد لذلك قال الشيخ أبو الحسن أيها السابق إلى سبيل نجاته الشائق إلى حضرة جنابه. O you who are striving on the path of his salvation and yearning for his great presence, أقلل النظر إلى ظاهرك إن أردت فتح باطنك لأسرار ملكوت ربك. Look as little as possible to your external condition if you want the inner opening towards the secrets of his lordship. So that was busying oneself with the wada'if al-ubudiyyah, with the acts of worship. And number 9 is that know that you are in a position of an abid and Allah is in, you are marbub, you have a rab, and a rab in Arabic is, we translate it with lord. The rab, the root meaning of rab is somebody who makes something grow, so he takes care of things in a tender manner that will allow them to grow. That is the root meaning of rab. You say about the parents, for instance, that they are rab because they nourish and make the children grow. And then he read that, and that is the ayah where Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, tell the people to worship me and then you don't need to worry about the rizq, I take care of the rizq. Then the number 10 is that you don't know how things will end up. There was a similar point before, it was about you don't know how you are not able to manage because you can't really foresee. This is a slightly different slant. It's you don't know, like you're planning something good and something bad comes out. you're trying to plan something and the opposite comes out because you don't know, not only you can't foresee, is that you don't know the results. You don't know the results that come out of your actions. And in that was the poetry, how many times did I want to do something and you prevented me from doing it until I realized that I should just give myself up to you. And then came the story about the person whose animals died, and he just was relying upon Allah, and his family was uneasy about it. They saw all the animals dying until they saw that it was for a benefit, that they were the only people who were saved when the robbers came and killed the people of the village, because they didn't have any animals that would lead the robbers to their house. So that's why we stopped.